Hello, friends, and welcome back to What's Your Safe Word? I want to preface this week's podcast by letting you know that the audio is subpar, and not because the sub was the one that recorded it. No, we were in an uncontrolled environment that was at Mr. S. Leather, so there were machines, there were hammers. We were just kind of doing it on the fly, and I'm really glad we did because the conversation was great. But I just want to preface this wonderful conversation with Guillaume Dupree, the current Mr. International Rubber and all-around lovely kitten, with this little disclaimer. So, if you enjoy this, enjoy. If you don't, I promise that next podcast will be done professionally. Roll the opening. Welcome back to What's Your Safe Word? Today, I'm with Guillaume, our current MIR, house kitty, a personality of all sorts. Okay, Guillaume, let's catch up.
Oh my God.
Welcome yes. back to What's Your Safe Word? I am Amp.
And I'm Guillaume.
And today, I had the lovely, I get to be with you for like multiple hours. We just filmed an episode for the YouTubes. And now we're here talking on the microphone for a podcast.
Yes, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
We're happy to have you. Do you know what a podcast is?
Yes, of course I know what a podcast is.
Well, do you listen to any podcasts?
Not really, to be honest. Okay, well then.
My next line of questioning, totally out the window.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. You're fine.
I'm Canadian. I have to
you're
be
perfect.
Sorry.
You're beautiful.
You look like an eventually.
Thank
stuff.
You.
Okay.
Well, you love pot? You would love the RuPaul podcast.
If I love pot? Oh, then love podcast. Oh.
Pot?
Pot?
You love pot?
I love pot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay.
Now that we've weeded that out. Of
ooh,
the,
okay.
Puns.
I see.
Okay. You don't like puns, though.
I'm not good at puns.
So what are you doing in town, Guillaume?
My best.
You're doing your best in
no,
town?
No, I'm kidding. I'm here for Up Your Alley.
What are you doing in my alley?
Destroy it.
Also known as Dory.
Also known as Dory.
And what is that?
It's a kind of a foursome, but a bit smaller.
Yeah.
It is small. Well, it's like a third of what a foursome is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more filled with people that are actual kingsters. You know, in foursome,
oh,
you're going to...
Shots fired. Shots
well,
fired.
What I mean
we
by that is that...
the entire audience.
Okay, I'm sorry. what I mean by that is that often at foursome, you're going to have people that are there only to take pictures and to take videos
sure.
of what's going on, that they're not actual people that are from the community.
Yep.
And in Dorati, you have more people from the community, or you have also like porn stars and stuff and like title holders, but you have less people that are there just to take pictures.
Yeah.
So it's more enjoyable, in my opinion.
Yeah, we call them muggles.
Yeah,
yeah.
I do too.
A lot more muggles at Folsom.
Yeah, I hate muggles in airports. They're like in my way. I'm like, I'm gay walking.
Well, that's because they tried to run into that brick wall and they've knocked
yeah.
themselves out.
There you go.
And it's always right between platforms 9 and 10. It's really strange.
It's weird. Mysteries.
What house are you?
Oh my God. Off of Buff, I would say.
Oh
maybe.
God. Oh
maybe,
no.
Maybe the other one.
I don't find that... Well, that's not surprising. Did you ever watch the Harry Potter musical? No?
No.
And that reference is totally over your head then.
What?
Okay. Hufflepuffs are particularly good finders. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, then I'm not. Then it's not me.
Okay. So, Guillaume, speaking of Hogwarts houses, have you gotten tested recently? No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Hogwarts?
Oh.
It's a magical STI that I just made.
Oh,
up.
Okay.
Never mind.
It's funny.
So you are in town for Folsom, no, sorry,
for
you're in town for Dory, which is like Folsom.
Uh-huh.
And so we've taken the time to kind of get to see each other, but we've known each other for a bit.
Yes,
almost
sure.
Almost
a year.
Yeah,
MIR is going to be a year.
MIR, which you were in our vlog,
and
was the first time meeting you, but that was,
yeah
that was a while
that's
back.
True.
Since
I was,
then.
I was wondering if I met you at IMSO last year, but no.
I wasn't there.
Okay.
The first time I saw you was you with your kitten ears on drawing
mm-hmm.
numbers at MIR.
Yes.
And I remember recording that vividly and then editing all of it. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. It's a fun year.
For those that don't know, MIR is Mr. International Rubber. It's a convention that Chris and I attended, though we've attended it the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I actually judged the year that the Michael won. I was on that judging panel.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that's how I met Preston, who was
okay.
the year prior to Michael.
Yeah, it is a kink convention all about rubber and kink. And if you haven't seen the travel vlogs, it's actually one of my favorite travel vlogs. And it was like 2 full hours of content. I don't know if you watched all of it. I think you watched it because you were in it, but it's one of my favorite trips. So if you've never heard of MIR or you've never gone, it's a wonderful kink convention all about rubber. Everyone's welcome. Everyone goes. Tons of puppies and kitties.
When I watched your episode, it brought me back very nice souvenirs. It was great. Until you said that was...
Okay. I misnamed you.
But whatever.
And there's one part in the vlog where I talk about Spain, and I just say that he's throwing the wind.
Yeah, there you go.
But you're the one.
Weren't you supposed to change it?
You can't change videos like that.
What do you mean?
I could take it out, but then...
You're a magician.
Oh my God. Anyway, keeping the conversation going. You are a kinkster.
Yes.
And on this show, sometimes we have like nice little chats with people that we like. I guess I like you. You're making a weird face. Like,
does that mean you like me? Does that mean that what?
The jury's still out. But you are one of, not the only, but one of the only cats that I know that are male.
Okay.
In the community. Mm-hmm. I don't know many, but I do know a few. And you are one of the more prominent ones because you won MIR. So
yeah.
Why don't you, first of all, can you briefly explain what kitten play is? Because I think a lot of people that listen to this know what puppies are.
Yeah. Well, puppy play is, you know, the puppies are very close as kitties. What I mean by that is that it's a pet play, which is it's a type of role play. So instead of getting the person and the character of puppy, it gets the person and the character of a feline type. So it can be a cat, it can be a lion, can be whatever they want. So it's
tiger?
Just, yeah, tiger.
A bear.
Not a bear.
Oh, my.
Stop with the bears. I know you love bears. It's different.
Oh, I love a good bear.
I love a good bear.
You can do it. Anyway.
Jesus.
And so you competed for MIR. Mm-hmm. You were your best cat self. You were catty. Mm-hmm. You were bringing your kitty girl realness to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you took that title.
Yes.
You
snatched
you
it.
Snatched it right off of the previous title holder. Can you explain that, though? Like, if you were to explain what a title was to someone that had never been to one, go.
I would say that a title holder is a community representative, so they represent a certain group in the community. Depending on the title, it can be something local, it can be something international, it can be a certain type of practice.
Mm-hmm.
It can be many things. So they represent. In other communities, their community, a different level. So, and they usually, the title holder also do fundraisers and they help their own community or different kind of communities, sponsoring or helping in so many different ways.
Yeah. A lot of people say like the pillars of, you know, the communities that exist, whether it's local or international or worldwide. Well, worldwide is international, but shh.
Same difference.
Yeah. Sometimes titles are won, sometimes titles are appointed, but they are a responsibility, and with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes, well...
You didn't like Spider-Man?
I do.
I don't know.
It's true that there's great responsibility. You have to show up, you have to be there, but at the same time, I think everyone does what they can.
Yeah.
You get to understand that you should not compare your work to someone else, and you just, you know, because at the end of the day, it's all volunteering, and that doesn't pay your bills, and that, you know, should not put you in some kind of a stress. It should be fun and enjoyable. So that's something that often people forget, is to enjoy being a title holder and just enjoy doing whatever they're doing, because at the end of the day, it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. A lot of people, they want to be the best that they can, but sometimes they lose sight of why they're doing this.
Yeah.
But I do want to add, like, a title does not make you a good person or a bad person.
No.
There are terrible title holders that have existed, and there are wonderful title holders, and there's everyone in between. But a title does not say that you are a good kinkster or you are a good person in the community. You don't need a title to do anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes people take those titles and they do great things.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think you do
great things with your title?
Well, so I actually competed for a title 8 years ago now, seven or eight years ago now. I competed for International Puppy, so it was a puppy title.
Yeah.
So, like, it was a dog and pony show minus the ponies.
Mm-hmm. What about Mr. Friendly?
Well, I'm Mr.
Yeah,
Friendly.
There you go.
And let me tell my story. I got a backstory,
mm-hmm.
too.
Okay.
But back then, it was an international title. I didn't have a title at the time because there wasn't a title in my area for that year. And so I competed as an independent against a bunch of other people that had, like, local titles that were local puppies that were sent to international by their title within the community there. So I already was at a disadvantage running for that title. But I remember being, it was a lot of work. You had to put together
mm-hmm.
looks. You had to put together a speech. You had to put
yeah.
together, like, it's like studying for a test almost in
mm-hmm.
a lot of ways. Like,
you have to learn about your judges. You have to do.
You have to have a bikini and a swimsuit
yeah.
portion
yeah.
and a
getting
job.
Wax, paws and claws done,
mm-hmm.
hairdo,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. But plot twist, I didn't win back then.
Oh, shocking!
How dare you, Katia's. But also, you can swear. We have
explicit. Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
we can talk here.
Motherfucker.
We can say whatever the fuck we want. No, but I came in second.
Okay.
And so there was a little.
Oh,
I remember there was people were like upset that I came in second, not having a title, not having. But that's just the thing. Like, a title does not make you a good person
mm-hmm.
in the community. What you do makes you a good person.
Yeah.
And so I took that experience, and I was sad, sure, and maybe a little bit bitter because I was much younger back then. But looking back, that experience was one of the driving forces that made me want to start creating content on the internet. Like, I was pretty much put down by one of the judges on that panel back then. A terrible person with a really bad perspective of that contest, who I have never named. I'm never going to throw them out or under the bus. But it was just like, their perspective was pretty much, you're too young, you don't understand, this person that wins deserves it. Which is,
yeah.
it never feels good to be told that you're not good enough for
Definitely.
Something. And so I took that and I was like, well, fuck you. I didn't say this to the person, but I was like, I can do shit, but I'm not confrontational.
Aren't you not?
No.
Okay.
I hate disappointing people or like causing
controversy. I see that in Brazil.
How dare you?
Oh, wow.
I'm a very apologetic. I feel bad. I'm,
mm-hmm.
That is the most submissive
so
side to me.
Say sorry and you beg for it. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
So, no, I don't think that having a title makes you a good person or does make you better at what you're
mm-hmm.
doing. Like, what's
and you
safer?
Don't need, and also, you don't need a title to do anything.
Correct.
If you want to organize a fundraiser, if you want to organize mm-hmm. some type of social group or social activity with your people or people that you like, there's nothing that stops you from doing it. And especially having a title should not influence like your action. If you want to do it, you just do it.
Correct. And I think titles are wonderful tools, but
mm-hmm.
much like many tools,
it's
how the person uses
platform.
It. Yeah,
I would say, like, especially for me, identifying as a kid, as a fucking joke. No, as a
what?
Oh. You heard it first. No, as a kiddie, I had a lot of people reaching out to me on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they were feeling alone. They were feline alone. They were feeling alone a lot and lonely, and they thought they were the only one who had this kind of persona. And so it was great to see that there was other people like that. And from what I understand, it's like there's more kitties out there than we know. And then like encourage them to go out and show themselves and expose themselves. And I just hope that the fetish community and especially the pup community will be able to welcome them as they are, and you know, for their play and for their personal and everything, and that put them aside, because at the end, like, it's another type of pet play, and I think they should be welcome in puppy space and stuff.
Yeah, well, representation again,
mm-hmm.
representation is important. Like, the more people that are themselves, the more diversity that we have,
mm-hmm.
like intersectionality.
Yeah,
you know, the concept of intersectionality is like seeing the lens through how other people see their lives. So, like,
yeah.
Intersectionality was coined by a black woman, like that term,
mm-hmm.
because it was the way that she explained how she saw her life and how she lived her life through different lenses as a black woman,
mm-hmm.
and like the hardships and prejudices that she has to go through. So the more inclusivity and representation that we bring to this community, the more we get that intersectionality. We're able to see people's lives from those different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
So like you being a guy that's into kin play, for example, you're looked down upon in a certain way because a lot of people just assume that this kink is like only for women,
it's
you
true.
Know, but you being visible, I hope, brings representation and says that, you know, no, guys are welcome in this, just like girls are welcome in puppy play. It's not gender specific. It doesn't even need to have a gender. Non-binary people can be into whatever kinks they want to.
It's true.
Asexual people can be into kinks.
The asexual probably forgot them too often.
People overlook them far too often and don't think that they're part of the LGBT.
Yeah.
Just because the A is near the end of that acronym. Mm-hmm. And because there's more. I mean, I think more than anything, like kinks, sexuality, gender, there's so much overlap in all of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And I see no problem. Just because asexuals don't have that sexual drive doesn't mean they can't be part of a community.
Yeah, it's true. It's totally true.
And it's closed-minded. And even bringing that into there, like, that brings people representation as well. But titles,
yes,
which is what we were talking about. Wow, we got on a tangent. So I'm Mr. Friendly.
Yes.
Like, my title came after I've done a bunch of stuff in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But I took it on because
I
love
a lot of hugging.
How dare you? Only a little hugging.
Only a little.
I because I believe what Mr. Friendly stood for. I'm really good friends with last year's Mr. Friendly. I'm really good friends with the organizer Dave, who's also been on What's a Safe Word. I believe that there is room for more education in all kinds. Not only around HIV, but that is generally what Mr. Friendly's about. It's about just making people aware of, like, their options and safer sex and being conscious about getting tested and that undetectable equals untransmittable. Like, all of these wonderful catchphrases that help to destigmatize sex. But why did you run for your title?
Well, it's hard to explain because, you know, I won Mr. Urban Montreal, and 3 months afterwards I was running Cram-IR and I won. So
that's a quick roller coaster.
It's really quick. So I, you know, this is something that I realized to my ears, like, to identify what it is really to be a title holder. I kind of had to discover it. Mm-hmm. Though I began being in the Finnish community back in Montreal for the last 5 years, like in 2013, 2012, something like that.
Long, long ago.
And so I was, you know, discovering the Finnish community through my work and the education I was getting from previous title holder. And there was a lot of people that was looking at what I was doing in the community, being present and listening a lot to people and, like, suggesting people and everything.
Sure. And what did you do for work back then, if I can ask?
I call that a kink advisor in a Finnish store. I was helping people.
Oh.
Yeah.
You kind of do what I do currently at Mr. S.
Yeah, there
okay.
you go.
Okay,
yeah,
continue.
I was doing that. And, so that was a lot of fun, and I was learning a lot through it. And then there was a lot of people that were asking me to run for Mr. Leather, because at that point I was not wearing a lot of rubber. And I was like, maybe, but I don't feel comfortable. Because I think the leather community sometimes is a bit more restrictive than rubber, especially in different kind of aesthetic. You can go like bigger and more colorful and with, like, different kind of designs with latex, sometimes that you can't achieve with leather.
Well, and
formal.
Yes.
The leather is way more formal. It's, you know, some kind of uniform or very specific items. And rubber is a bit more fluid. It's a bit, you know,
stretchy.
Yeah.
They get to flex their muscles a bit more.
Oh,
no, but it's true. So, like, if you were to watch the MIR vlog that we went to, you see so much more color. You see so much more fun. You see, and I mean fun as in, like, open, and you don't take yourself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people in crazy costumes that they feel sexy in, but they look super cool. They look like costumes a lot of the time, like dragons, and even heels. Heels are all over the place. Like, if you were to go to a leather convention and someone was in heels, they would be getting so many looks from.
I thought that changed. That disappointed me.
It's getting better, but I'm trying to equate, like, at a leather convention, you don't see a bunch of people on, like, the stage running for that contest in heels.
Yeah.
But at MIR,
once or twice,
there was multiple people in heels. I feel that...
Me included.
Yes, you looked great.
Thank you.
I don't know if you needed the extra height. You're a very tall person.
It's for the legs and booty, honey. It's not for the height.
But you are correct. I think that rubber does that really, really well. Leather has its place and its culture. But rubber also has its place in its culture, and it's just they're very different.
Yeah,
there's similarities here or there, but I think both could learn something from the other.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, so then when I tried it for the first time, rubber, I was was like, oh, wait, this is way more my thing. This is, I was feeling way more comfortable.
Lifts, tucks, and my, squeezes.
There you go. I was feeling way more comfortable wearing that than wearing leather.
I get it.
And then I decided to run for Mr. Rubber Montreal. I wanted to do something for Montreal. I wanted to represent and be there for the people and everything. So I ran and I won. And it was like, oh, let me. There's a lot of people that was encouraging me to go to the international title. So I was like, okay.
So what pushed you towards it then? Because that's a short term to decide that.
Yeah.
Like I went into Mr. Friendly knowing
there
I was
going
to run IML. What was your thought process behind that?
There was, you know, a lot of people back in Montreal. It's, I don't want to brag about it because I think everybody probably had the same feedback. We had amazing contestants this year at MIR.
You had amazing what? Sorry.
Contestants.
Oh, contestants. Oh my God.
The my brothers are so amazing. They do so many good, great things and everything. So, but there was a lot of people that was thinking I would at least do the podium at MIR. So I was like, why not? You know, taking a
people
chance.
People were talking, yeah.
But the person that really had a game changer was actually a former MIR that is from Montreal, and it's Brian Turgeon.
Can you say that one more time?
It's a former MIR from Montreal. It's Brian Turgeon.
BJ Turgeon. BJ, there we go.
Yeah.
I like that better.
So BJ Turgeon is from Montreal. He's a former MIR. I think he was in 2009.
Was he good at BJ's? Because that's a really unfortunate
name.
I'm sure he is. And what did he say to you?
Well, actually, we went after I won Montreal. I went for a drink with him and his partner Eric at the Black Eagle in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know about his experience in the contest at MIR and also as an MIR.
Yeah.
And so we chit chat for like a good 2 hours. And at some point, he gave me a ride home. And then when I got to my place, I had a message and it was him. And he was asking me, guess what I said to Eric when you left the car? I said, what did you say to Eric, his partner? And he said, I'm sure he's going to win.
Aww.
So I was crying for a good half an hour. I was like, okay, I need to do this.
I mean, how can you let him down?
There you go.
You have to do it.
There you go. But then when I got to Chicago, I met with the other guys and I was like, there's no way I win this.
Fuck, they're
amazing. They are so fucking nice. I was like, there's no way I can win this.
Yeah, try doing that with 70 other guys.
Yeah, I know.
Or sorry.
I know.
No, we had 72 guys.
I'm sure it's not the first time we faced that many guys. Well, either way, at the same time.
You know, we remember that hooking thing? You guys had a tough class.
Yeah.
I remember watching, not only filming, but watching and looking at the footage and being like, I don't know who the fuck's going to win. Like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't know you at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Felix and I knew Nico.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think back. I didn't know any of the other contestants well.
Yeah.
But I recognized you. And I recognized the way you like swaggered onto the stage and you had some confidence. And, or
okay.
Sorry, slinked. Do cats slink?
Slink. I don't know.
Meow.
Meow.
But you had a good presence. You had a stage presence
Thank
that
you.
I was like, ooh, it's going to be down to Felix, Nico, and Guillaume.
Yeah.
And I didn't know your name at the time.
Yeah.
To me, you were Spain.
I know. But what the, you know, this is something that I realized also through my trips,
mm-hmm.
is that everybody watched the live feed. You have no idea how many people told me about
of
my scene, my fantasy
scene.
Everybody talks about my fantasy and how they liked it and how it surprised them
mm-hmm.
to see an impact play scene on a rubber competition. And so I was really, really proud.
Oh, it wasn't just an impact play scene though, bitch. You were swinging. You came in literally swinging.
Yeah.
You had the whip. You had, didn't you have two floggers?
I had two floggers. I was doing some floggers.
You were
in.
Doing like some ninja backflips and shit. Like, is this a Ninja Turtle or
yeah,
a rubber
and
cat?
A matrix robe and latex.
No, you looked great. And I have a clip. Watch the vlog. There's a bit
yeah.
of it in the vlog.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'm sure there's more.
Not enough, but there's a bit.
Okay. Well,
oh, okay.
You know what? Maybe if you were one of those 70 guys, I would have put more of you. No.
Oh, excuse me.
What? You're excused.
What? Okay. Fair.
You did perfect.
Thank you. You were showing your person very much.
Terrible.
Okay.
But then, okay, so what was the most difficult part for you?
The interview.
Yeah.
And that really surprised me because back in Montreal, my interview was really easy. I knew very well like 7 of the 8 judges. So I was like not shy at all. It was very friendly. It was very good. MIR was terrified.
Were they tough?
To be honest, I don't even remember. I just knew I was panicking.
Okay. Sure.
I was panicking. I didn't know. I was forgetting. English is not my first language. I have a great.
You speak very well.
Thank you. I'm doing my best. I'm French Canadian. So anyway.
Breathe. It's okay.
Okay.
Speak into the microphone.
So yeah. During the interview, it was really tough, and then I realized that I should just like be myself to the entire competition. You know, the interviews think that the challenge that works the most points. So
yeah.
Once it's done. That you fucked it up or not, you just have to enjoy the rest. The rest is just the show and the gala and the finale and everything. And as long as you have a good, you know, presence on stage. But at the same time, I do social anxiety and stage fright. So I'm surprised that they didn't panic. It was just like, I need to do it. I need like to fucking deliver and do something. And I did great. So
you won. So no, I remember because we did practice interviews for myself before heading off to IML as well. And those all went really well, but I had people that were like my practice interviews were harder than my interview at IML.
Mm-hmm.
Same as you, like, it's a blur. Mm-hmm. I remember little bits and pieces of the questions, but I remember walking out being like, that was too easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that, at least for my own interview, I answered the questions stellar, but I don't feel like I got questions that I could really use to my, and that's my own personal, like, That was my experience.
Yeah.
Because the stage stuff, that's easy. I feel good on a stage. I like presenting. That stuff I thought I did really well.
You like to show off. It's fun.
Excuse
me.
Thank you. But, you know, I walked out of that experience feeling good about everything that happened, everything I did. It's tough to narrow down, let alone mm-hmm. how many were in your class? 8?
We're 11 from 8 different countries.
Oh, 8 different countries. Sorry. 11 guys. I mean, that's already a lot. We had... Again, 68 people running for one title, and I think it was 4 for the other. So we had 72 mm-hmm. people running for one title. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations on becoming first for that.
because it worked. Congratulations.
But B, congratulations because you're still here.
Yeah.
Like, it's not easy. My title is pretty simple. I do a lot of educational content. I do fundraisers every once mm-hmm. in a while. I show up and support other people in the city, but I cannot imagine. Can you give me the spark notes, give me the elevator pitch for someone who is an international title holder? Like, what do you have to do on a weekly basis? Like, what do people expect of you? Give us the insight.
Nothing, to be honest. And that's the thing I appreciate from MIR is that you don't there's no obligation. The only thing you have to do is to be a judge next year. But of course, like when you run for that and you want to do it, like in my opinion, like why not, you know, use the opportunity to do something great and to be there
yeah.
and to represent. And, you know, I was the first to be judged. Well, just like you, we were first to be judged in the Mr. Uber Brazil in Sao Paulo.
Mm-hmm. Which is an event that we were both at. There's a vlog
yeah.
that come out eventually.
Yeah. I was the first MIR to attend the Netherlands Rubber Weekend, which was the first edition this year. I was the second MIR to go to Australia during to Slick in Melbourne during his title year, the first one, which was Preston. So... And I'm just, you know, very grateful because I'm able to do all these things and to travel. But mm-hmm. I'm also, like, it surprised myself that I'm able to do it and to get through it without getting crazy and getting overwhelmed about it. To not get too exhausted because
yeah.
it is really exhausting. You need to find
it's
a balance.
It's time-consuming.
Yeah, it's
but,
time.
But
it's,
mentally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very energy-consuming. It's a lot of fun to travel and to meet people. But all at the same time, it can be very hard on your body, on your mind, to
mm-hmm.
always be surrounded with people. I personally do, like I said, I do social anxiety. So sometimes being surrounded by people, I panic and I don't like sit in a corner, but I just think I need a moment by myself.
I get it.
So yeah.
At the end of the day, like when we go to events like IML, and not even just talking about competing, but like when we work in an event like IML,
mm-hmm.
some nights I just want to go back to the hotel room. Everyone else is out going to the circuit party and I'm just like sitting in my bed eating some Cheetos and watching like RuPaul.
Yeah.
And that is like, that is perfect.
It's perfect.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to.
you didn't mean it.
Sorry.
Of course.
Cat's got my tongue. So I'm curious. I totally get the exhaustion and
yeah.
like you need mental health days sometimes. Like,
yeah. yeah. You need self-care. You need,
yeah.
you need to take time to take care about, to think about yourself, take care of yourself and just, you know, enjoy little things. And
well, yeah. Because sometimes title holding is a thankless job, and it
mm-hmm.
should be to a degree.
Yeah.
Like you should be doing this to help people.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe like you should be doing this to change the world for the better
yeah.
and make change for people and help.
without losing yourself and exhausting
Correct.
Yourself. Here you go.
But it's also a thankless job, and so sometimes it can feel like you're doing all this and you're not getting back what you give out, and that can be really draining.
Yeah, but I'm very fortunate that I got a lot of feedback, you know, from people.
Good.
I had when I was in Poland, in Warsaw, for the Mr. Urban Poland competition. I was a judge there. I had young kids that were crying in my arms because they were so happy that I was there. So that was really thoughtful. Same thing that happened to me in Brazil. And I was like, you know, I'm just here. And for them, it means the world.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm like, I just made the effort to be here. But for them, it's like, I met the MIR and he was in a competition or whatever. And I had the chance to chat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that means so much for them. And I would have never expected that going through my year. And when it happened, I was like, oh my God, well, for me, I'm just like a normal human that is just there and visiting and just, or be a judge for a contest. But for them, it's such a big deal. And it's just like, wow, this is incredible. It's an incredible feeling, but I'm also happy and very humble going through it.
Yeah.
So, but it's very rewarding. This is such events or situation that makes me, okay, I'm doing a good job and what I do is appreciated. So it's very fun.
Well, it's valuable. And so you answered my question, which was like, I was going to ask you, so what is the drive? Like, what makes you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's helping people.
It's to be there and
being visible.
Yeah. And plus, you know, I make kind of a point of being judged as many contests as possible because there are potential MIR. Maybe they're going to be running for my title. So
sure.
I want to make sure they're not assholes.
I mean, you're being honest.
I mean, it's true. I don't want an asshole taking my sash and my crown.
Well, they're going to be your grandson.
They'll be my sash son.
Or sorry, your sash son. That's right. It doesn't go grand right away. They'll be your son.
Yeah, my sash son. I'm excited. I'm going to have one soon from Montreal.
Oh.
Very excited.
Okay, well then, so we've kind of had an overarching conversation about titles in general. If you were to give some advice to someone who's looking to do a title, what would it be?
It's the same, probably the same advice that any title holder would give. Just be yourself and enjoy. That's the most beautiful thing you can do for other people. It's just be yourself. Everyone is so unique and different and beautiful. So it's just like, be yourself, show what you are to the world and be confident and you're going to shine and you're going to be beautiful. So that'd be it.
I agree. I will add to though, be yourself and remind yourself to be yourself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of instances where someone goes into a contest and they know who they are, but contests can be like a pressure cooker.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
It causes a lot of stress.
Yeah.
It causes a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I know
because
I've
you keep
seen
comparing
people.
Yourself to other people
mm-hmm.
all the time. You're like, oh, maybe, you know, his boots are better than mine or his outfit is better than mine or his inserts are very good and everything. So,
But that might not be what the judges are looking for.
Exactly. Just be yourself. And
yeah.
if you don't have it, well, you're not what the judges want.
Correct.
So it's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're doing a bad job. It's just because this is not what they were looking for. So if you would have had another different kind of panel of judges, you would have maybe win or whatever.
Yeah. And that's a good takeaway too. Like you won MIR and you clearly were the right mix of what the judges wanted, what they were looking for. And you just brought it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't win IML.
Yeah.
And that's okay because I competed against some of the best people around the world. I wasn't what the judges were looking for, but that doesn't change what I'm doing or how I'm doing.
And don't you think that Jack Thompson is actually a perfect fit for this year as an IML?
Oh, absolutely.
He's an amazing human
being.
He's
got so much to say and do and represent.
I had the chance to be with him at a few events. I was with him, well, not with him, but I saw him at MAL. We had time to have some conversation and at World Pride in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually going to be in Montreal for my step aside. I'm very, very excited, but he's just an amazing human being. And I'm really happy that the leather community has that person as a representative for this year as an IML. So,
yeah.
I'm
I,
so
I mean,
happy.
Especially with the current like political climate and everything, like
mm-hmm.
having that kind of representation
it's just perfect.
Is super
when
important.
I got the news, I was in Poland and it was the night of my birthday. And
Jesus, you're already emotionally like...
Oh, yeah. Well, it was... When we got the news, it was 4 a.m. in Poland. And me and Alan, Mr. River San Francisco, we had a little drinks or two
uh-huh.
in a karaoke bar. And so we got quite... Anyway. And so
anyway.
We got the news on live feed on Facebook. And we lost our shit. We were screaming in the bar. like crazy. People were like, what the fuck is going on? Did they just win the lottery or something? But we're just screaming. We're just so happy for Jack, for Jack. And then we're, you know, making videos and selfies and stuff. But on every single screen, we just look like a mess. And it's just very funny. But anyway, we were very happy.
I don't know what any of that story had to do besides being happy, but I appreciated it.
My pleasure. It's content.
So speaking of representation, something that you're really passionate about is talking about the youth, non-binary, people having proper representation and education growing up so that they know that what they have and what they're doing and how they feel is appropriate. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think it's really important, and I think it's really beautiful nowadays to see that people are more open to be fluid or open about their gender or their aesthetic. I think for too many years, people were stopping themselves from trying different kind of style or aesthetic or persona or character because it would not fit their gender. And so they, you know, they would stop themselves from being colorful or being, you know, very
themselves.
To be themselves, but to emancipate themselves to another extent because it was not socially acceptable, you know.
I do.
So of course we see it more and more in the mainstream media. We have a good example with the Pose that, you know, show
I
a lot of
Pose.
So beautiful.
Fucking Billy.
Yeah.
I mean the entire cast, but
yeah.
Like Billy Porter speaks to me or sings to me if you want.
I love his
like,
voice. I love how he speaks. I love how we say things. how he say things. And so anyway, so I think it brings, you know, it brings the opportunity to the general population to see a bit, like, you know, that we're here and that it's okay to be that colorful and to be that expressive, and we're not like freaks or like, you know, people that are just like deviant or something. It's just no, we just have different kind of style or way,
perspective.
And I think what is very nice with the young crowd more and more is that they're more open naturally to this non-binary fluidity. And so I think that at some point, you know, in 10 or 15 years, they're going to be like, it's going to be way more accepted because the young crowd starts now to be like more open and, you know, it's just going to influence more of the general population and a bit everywhere. It's good to be people to be more open and accept differences and stuff,
having different perspectives and seeing people's perspectives and understanding that just because someone's different does not mean that they're worse or bad.
Yeah,
it just means that they're different and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's where again the representation matters, you know, and having that conversation about it. I think that the disservice that we do a lot of kids, and I want to preface this entire conversation during the conversation by saying that we're not saying kids should be exposed to kinks or fetishes, but more so that kids are going to find that information if they're curious about it or if they think that they fit into this certain box. So like non-binary, trans kids, these kids exist, but we're putting them down so often and we're doing them a disservice because LGBT inclusive sex education doesn't exist.
It's true.
I mean, it's just starting to become something that we're talking about and making legislation for. And I think California has actually started the dominoes in that, like the domino effect, hopefully that happens. But there are so many states, I think, I have a statistic for this. In the United States alone, there are no federal laws against discriminating against sexual orientation or gender identity, and at least 22 states that have laws prohibiting it. So if you look at states like Texas, schools teach kids that homosexual conduct is not an acceptable lifestyle, and it's actually a criminal offense.
Really?
Yeah, and then in Alabama, teachers are required to inform students that homosexuality is not a lifestyle accepted, and that it also leads to AIDS.
See, Americans.
I'm sorry. That's coming from America. We're terrible. But it's just like...
We don't have that in Canada, not that I'm aware
of. You guys are really... I mean, you're not perfect. You aren't perfect.
No.
You're still teaching, like, curriculums from the 1990s, I think. But... You are actually trying to change that. You're trying to be progressive, at least from what I've seen in the news. I mean, there's studies. There's so many studies I've read that say teaching LGBT inclusive sex education does not harm children.
Of course not.
In fact, that representation not only makes the LGBT kids feel represented and valid.
Save lives.
It does.
I mean,
it shows that they're happier.
Yeah.
It shows that they feel represented, that they feel accepted. They show less depression.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, in the studies that I've read, in actual like clinical books, there's actual studies by the youth and adolescents. There's actual studies by the Journal of Youth and Adolescents that say that not just LGBT kids are positively affected. All the children within classes that get LGBT inclusive sex education are not only nicer to those kids, but are shown to speak out more often when LGBT kids are getting bullied.
Fair. Yeah.
Like, there's so many studies that show that teaching these kids not only comprehensive sex education, but inclusive sex education does good things.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not surprised.
And yet, I mean, Canada's not terrible, but America, we still put so much money into abstinence-only education. Like,
yeah.
Under Obama, we were, you know, cutting back on that abstinence funding, but underneath Trump, whatever you want to call him, garbage dump.
Cheetos.
I could use some Cheetos. We're seeing this almost bell curve back up to more and more funding for abstinence, which is just so exhausting and upsetting.
Yeah.
Considering how many scientific studies we have saying it's not good.
Yeah, but he doesn't care.
Well, he doesn't even know how to do sex, I'm sure.
No, he doesn't even know how to read.
He has to hire people just to have sex.
You heard it here.
Nothing but respect for Stormy Daniels, who I have met and talked to, and she is lovely.
Yeah. Did you have sex with her?
No. Would I? I don't know.
Oh.
But it's just like,
do you have sex with women sometimes?
No, I have never.
Okay.
I'm demisexual.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. That, for those that don't know, I'm much more attracted to someone's personality, their smarts, their intelligence, like them as a full-formed human person.
Mm.
But demisexuality is a conversation for a totally different time.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you for coming on today. I appreciate you being a representative for not only the larger community, but the rubber community. I think you're fun. You're playful.
Thank you.
You're a lovely, just warm invitation to say, come to the dark side. That is rubber. Like, we will stretch and wrap all around.
Dark and shiny.
There you go. We have cookies.
Woo!
But we are coming to the end of our time together. I'm so sorry.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. If you're listening to this now, definitely go check out the episode that we have with Guillaume where we talk about kitten play. It is the perfect primer to kind of understand who you are. You get to see you and your animated self.
Yeah.
There's a lot of puns, jokes, and it gets off the rails a bit, but it was a lot of fun.
So many puns.
They always have puns.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any last minute words? Anything that you want to plug? Any social medias you want people to follow you at? Lovely cough.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can follow me on Instagram under... you don't laugh about my name on Instagram. I don't like it. I had to change it.
I'm not laughing.
I know the people. I don't know. Anyway.
Your Instagram.
You can follow me on Instagram under Condesta. You spell that Condesta. You can follow me on Instagram at Condesta. It's spelled Condesta. This is my personal Instagram and also my MR Instagram. You can see what I do during my trips. On that Instagram, you can also follow me on Facebook on Guillaume Dupuis/MIR22. And coming up August 29th, I have a show that I produce in Montreal. It's a fetish show. It's an educative fetish show. It's called Lust and Shine. And you can come in Montreal and see it. It's during the fetish weekend also, which is quite big in Montreal.
You can rub me the right way.
Yes. Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Definitely.
You can't see it now, but he's slowly reaching. Oh, hey, stop that.
Yeah.
And you can find me at pup_amp on most social medias. You can also find us, of course, on What's the Safe Word on YouTube. But this has been What's Your Safe Word. Guillaume, do you have any last minute words?
Meow.
Perfect. Perfect. Unintentional
stop.
Pun. We'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening.
See you guys. Bye.